Danger, Will Robinson. Danger.
My name, Osai Imana.
You didn't crawl out from under no rocks. You didn't have no tails. You didn't come from monkeys. You ain't the instinct pink on me.
Be sure to listen to the car salesman. He's your friend and he's there to help.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Good morning and welcome into the Thursday edition of The Daily Perspective. Hi there, it's me, Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host, for this hour of observation, insight, and a little absurdity thrown into the mix because, hey, life is full of it, right? It sure is. And all around us, we're watching it play out on a daily basis. Hi there, how are you today? I hope all is well with you. I hope you and yours are doing just fine and that life is hunky and dory at the same time for you. It is, it's another day in the week. I spent some time yesterday doing studio work at the other studio where I'll be doing more work beginning next week. And it was a very long day for me. And I got home at the end of it. As I was pulling into the subdivision, I realized, wow, I've been going since that time this morning. And I've put in more than a full day, which is a whole lot more than I have since early July, when I had the second knee operation. And it just wore me slap out. Fortunately, got some sleep last night and got up this morning and leaned heavily on the coffee maker because there was just this. I'm still, if it weren't for caffeine, this little gray duck would not be here today. I'm just telling you, I'm just being honest with you. Caffeine is what's keeping me going. Oh gosh, what a bizarre, bizarre world we live in. I was watching news this morning while the cobwebs were clearing and the situation with Trump is just getting weirder and weirder. There, can I just say right off the top that there is a Fox News poll and there are other polls which are showing increased favorability for impeachment from Republicans. Please remember what the lesson is that we have learned from the past about polls. And that is that those polls are very rarely, if ever, truthful or accurate. When we look at polling today, we have to look very careful at the sampling. And I have a feeling that the sampling in these polls showing this disapproval for President Trump is coming from sampling that is not balanced and done fairly. Do a little digging. I think you'll find that to be true. And please, as Sean Hannity is prone to say, let not your heart be troubled. Because I think Trump is doing the right things for the most part. He is definitely fulfilling his campaign promises. And the reaction to what's happening right now with Turkey and the Kurds and Syria is kind of telling. Because the very same people who condemned us going in the first place are now condemning him for pulling out. Only on the left can you have things both ways, but apparently that's what's going on. I haven't talked much about this because I think there's a lot of smoke and very little fire. But as these polls are coming out, polls are used, you know this, they're used to influence opinion, not reflect opinion. And I believe that this polling, there's been a flurry of polling about this in the last several days. And I believe that the purpose of it is to sway opinion against President Trump. I don't think it is to tell you the truth. I don't think it is to inform you. I think it's to sway your opinion or to shake your confidence. I suggest that you step back, shake it off, take a deep breath, and remember why polls are used in the first place. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about that. Just remember why political groups use polling, why the news media uses polling. The news media uses polling in part to create something sensational they can report about, because sensationalism drives dollars. I've been through this before with you, and I'll, very briefly, the more sensational a story is, the more people will tune in to watch, and the longer they will pay attention. The more people watching and the longer they pay attention, the higher they can charge for ads. The more money they make from ads, the happier they are. So when you add two and two together, you come up with the fact that the news is not noble and the news is not trustworthy. The news is driven by the bottom line. So when they have sensational polls that reveal sensational things that they can make sensational statements about and put together sensational panels who will make sensational speculations, well, you see the picture, right? You can't trust polling. It's a tool. It's not the truth. Another thing before we get into other stories of the day, this has just dropped in the last 24 hours or so. Matt Lauer's rape victim has told all. She has stepped forward and talked about what he's done. And I'm not going to get into grisly detail here. So don't feel like you've got to cover the children's ears. I'm not going to get into that detail. If you've read the story, you know exactly the nature of what is alleged to have happened. But let's drop a few facts here. These two people were drunk. They had been drinking. They were having sex. He wanted to do something she didn't want to do. She said, no, 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 I don't want to do that. I'm uncomfortable with that. No, she said no several times. He did it anyway. They had been drinking. They had consented. They were involved. They were in the act. And he did something that she didn't want to do. While all this was going on, and they had been involved already. Is that rape? I'm not justifying or defending anyone. I'm just asking the question. If they were involved, that was going on, is that rape? What do we traditionally think of as rape? It's an act of violence. It's an act of violence, one sex against another, sometimes one sex against the same sex. Add this to this picture. They continued their relationship, which she terms as transactional. This was a transactional relationship. And yes, that word means exactly what you think it means. She had a relationship with Matt Lauer for the purpose of getting something she wanted. They continued their transactional relationship after this event. It kept going for a while. These are the facts you need to think about. It kept going. Now, the Me Too culture is screaming that she is a victim. But if you step away from the screaming and shut out the noise and look at things honestly, she was involved in a relationship with the man. He wanted to do something she was uncomfortable with doing, and he just did it in spite of her objections. He did not go to her hotel room and forcibly do something to her, as Bill Clinton did to Juanita Broderick. Can we really call it rape? That's a question to ponder for today. Speaking of rape, the Democrats are raping the United States of America in a different sense, and they really aren't happy when you tell the truth about what they're doing. They don't like it when the lights are turned on and the curtains are thrown back and people can see what they're actually doing. And now, Mr. Newt Gingrich, who is a former Speaker of the House, is saying that President Trump is absolutely justified for not cooperating with the Democrats in their kangaroo court. He is absolutely justified in not saying he will not cooperate with the House Democrats' impeachment inquiry and in ordering the U.S. ambassador to the European Union to stay away from a House deposition about the Ukrainian controversy. That's what Mr. Newt is saying. Quote, what Pelosi and company are doing is an absurdity. He complains that Democrats are staging a one-sided attack on the president. Quote, everybody in Watergate appeared in the open. Both sides got to cross-examine them. The same thing happened when we impeached Bill Clinton in the House in 1998. Remember, we had a report from independent counsel that used the word guilty on 11 different counts. Meanwhile, former special counsel Robert Mueller never used the word guilty once. That frustrated Democrats. According to Gingrich, he added that Pelosi was asked what would happen if the current impeachment push doesn't work. She replied, there are many other reasons. Quote, now, that's frankly such an anti-constitutional position that I think the president is absolutely justified in saying that he will not cooperate in any way until they establish a normal, regular procedure. That's what Gingrich says. I want you to remember something about Newt Gingrich. He's not just a politician. This man is a constitutional expert of sorts. He has taught college courses in it. This man is not just bloviating. He is not speculating like some member of a news channel panel. This is a man who actually knows what he's talking about. And he is saying that this is anti-constitutional and that the president is absolutely justified in saying he's not going to cooperate in any way because they haven't established a normal, regular procedure. What they're doing is shutting their opposition out and ignoring them. If you've seen any of the clips online of what's happening in some of these sessions, you have seen the people, the Democrats, who are overseeing the sessions, using the gavel liberally against their Republican counterparts, shutting them down, shutting them up, and keeping them from being involved. And on a larger scale, that is the reason why they haven't had a floor vote, because they don't want the Republicans to be able to be involved. If they have the floor vote, they have to have both sides involved. If they don't have the floor vote, it's kangaroo court and it's political theater for the news media. That's exactly what's going on right now, is political theater for the news media. Remember that President Trump, while defending the decision to block Ambassador Gordon Sondland from appearing before a closed-door session on Capitol Hill, called the deposition a kangaroo court. The case against Trump is based on a whistleblower's report concerning a conversation between Trump and Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky, on claims that Trump was seeking information concerning the dealings of Democratic candidate Joe Biden and his son, Hunter, in Ukraine. Gingrich says, you can't have a whistleblower in secret take on the president of the United States. He dismissed the resulting impeachment inquiry as a clown show. He says, what you're seeing is a three-year war, which really is to have a coup against the Constitution by the Democrats in the House. As I said the other day, he calls it a coup against the Constitution. He is technically and specifically correct about that. It's also a coup against you. Because the Democrats, as I told you the other day, the Democrats hate you. Remember, these people are progressives. Remember, progressives see themselves as both morally and intellectually superior to you, the little people, the voters, the rank and file, the people who get their hands dirty for a living. They are superior, morally and intellectually superior to you. You're an idiot, and you don't understand the bigger picture. You don't understand the intricacies of that bigger picture. You don't understand what it takes to make all of these pieces fit together for your benefit. And because they are superior to you, they understand. And so, they can't stand idly by while you put somebody in the Oval Office who they can't control. And that's what's happening right now. All of this kangaroo court garbage is about power and control for progressives. It's not about defending the Constitution. They hate the Constitution almost as much as they hate you, because it exposes them for who and what they really are. Don't forget that. All of this is about leftist power and control and nothing else. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Why is this song coming up in the bumpers so much? I think something's broken. Anyway, welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. You're there. Princess Kimber, the shaggy-footed wonder dog, asleep in the chair behind me. Yeah, I live the life, I know. It's a Thursday edition of the podcast, looking at the insanity of the day, the absurdity of the day. Hopefully we can glean some insight from what's happening around us. Hopefully we've all learned that this is all a struggle for power and control that we're watching happening play out in D.C. right now. And it's nothing more than that. It's a group of people, the progressives, who have decided that you're too dumb to understand what it takes to make the proper decisions for the future of the country. And because you chose a president that they disapprove of, they have to rip him to shreds, take that apart, and hopefully, through their efforts, put somebody in control that they approve of. That person, this should frighten you. In 2016, this should frighten you, was Hillary Clinton. But here's the thing. When you look at a progressive president, you're not looking at a leader. You're looking at someone who is a figurehead. Someone who steps out in front of the cameras and delivers the message approved by the progressive left. And if you're scratching your head thinking, that's not a fair assessment. Really? Really? Do you remember every speech Barack Obama made? What was to either side of the podium as he spoke? Teleprompters. He stayed on script. There was even one occasion, I don't know if you recall it, but I do, where his speech came to a halt and he stood at the podium and said nothing for many seconds, possibly minutes, because the teleprompters had malfunctioned. He didn't move forward. We experienced 8 years of a man in the Oval Office who was basically the face of a machine that was running everything in the background. And their goal was to fundamentally transform the United States of America into a progressive democracy, not a constitutional republic. They hate the wisdom of our founders, they hate our Constitution, and they hate everyone who embraces the founders and the Constitution. They hate everybody who sees them for what they are. Because, as I said before, in their minds, they are intellectually and morally superior to you. So you can't possibly get a grip on how they want things to be. It's for your good, and they're going to do it against your objections, regardless of how loudly you do object. Well, there's a group that's been objecting in D.C. for a while now. It's the House Freedom Caucus. And yesterday, they demanded that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi oust Representative Adam Schiff, the California Democrat and Intelligence Committee chairman, from leading the impeachment investigation. In a letter, 19 caucus members, including new chairman Andy Biggs, said Mr. Schiff cannot be trusted to lead the investigation because of his interactions with the person who filed a whistleblower complaint before the complaint over President Trump's call with the Ukrainian president was filed. His, quote, his interactions with the whistleblower make him a potential fact witness, and his actions thus far have demonstrated that he is not qualified for this serious responsibility. The New York Times reported the whistleblower, who accused the president of trying to pressure Ukraine into investigating former Vice President Joseph R. Biden Jr. and his son Hunter, first approached an Intelligence Committee staffer who relayed some vague information along to Mr. Schiff. The committee aide then directed the whistleblower per standard protocol to Michael Atkinson, the Inspector General for the Intelligence Community. Mr. Schiff said last month his team has not spoken to the whistleblower. Quote, he said this to MSNBC, we've not spoken directly with the whistleblower. We'd like to, but I'm sure the whistleblower has concerns that he has not been advised, as the law requires, by the Inspector General or the Director of National Intelligence just how he's supposed to communicate with Congress, and so the risk to the whistleblower is retaliation. But media reports surfaced this week and contradict that account. The New York Times and others reported the whistleblower had reached out to a House Intelligence Committee aide before filing the complaint. Mr. Biggs said the Ukraine allegations are just the latest fairy tale Mr. Schiff is using to try to impeach the president. He said Mr. Schiff is hardly an unbiased arbiter of this unauthorized impeachment process, and we call for his immediate recusal. In that letter, the Republicans argued Mr. Schiff should be questioned himself regarding his interactions with the whistleblower. Quote, the public knows little else about Chairman Schiff's dealing with the whistleblower because Chairman Schiff has failed to disclose the interaction. They also argued that the Democrats demanded Representative Devin Nunes, California Republican and the previous head of the Intelligence Council, recuse himself from the Russia investigation because of his private meetings with a source. Last week, Mr. Schiff accused Republicans of merely trying to protect the president. Quote, Republicans continued the president's strategy of deflection by making the absurd claim that because a whistleblower contacted the committee seeking guidance, the committee cannot conduct an investigation into the complaint. That's what Schiff said. He continued saying, if that were true, no whistleblower could contact Congress and no committee could conduct an investigation. Pelosi, however, has stood by her chairman saying what the Republicans fear most is the truth. To avoid the facts, they stage confusion, undermine the Constitution, and attack the person the president fears most, Adam Schiff. Remember, okay, remember that when Democrats make an accusation, 99.999% of the time, that accusation is actually what they're doing. Staging confusion, undermining the Constitution, and attacking, in this case, attacking a duly elected president because their person didn't win and the current president is dismantling what the progressive state was building in order to transform the United States of America. We also must remember Adam Schiff is completely, totally, and in all other ways, untrustworthy. We know he had meetings with people before their session interrogations in the past. We know that he has coached others. We know that he has learned things in confidential, classified meetings and stepped out into the hall and tweeted or texted what he knew to news contacts and to Twitter. We know this man is completely, totally untrustworthy. This man is a scheming, manipulative liar. And the Freedom Caucus is correct in demanding that he be removed. He's running this investigation, which is a fraudulent investigation, an unconstitutional one, in such a way that everything is very one-sided. The Republicans are not being allowed access. They're not being allowed to speak as they should be able to. Maybe you've seen, like I said before, maybe you've seen some of the video of Republicans being called out, the gavel being brought down, them being told they're out of order, them being told that what they're discussing at the point at this particular time is not pertinent to what they're talking about, when in actuality it truly, really is. And Adam Schiff is the one at the reins. He can't be trusted in any way, shape, or form. And hopefully something will break. I don't know what, but as Newt said, Mr. Newt, the president is right in resisting. The president is correct in refusing to cooperate. Because at this point in time, this is just a dog and pony show. It's political theater. And as the Democrats usually do, they're throwing a lot at the wall just to see what they can make stick. And they're throwing a lot at the news media and counting on the ignorance, the general ignorance of the people who really don't pay attention to these things and aren't educated in the proper procedures of Washington, D.C. They're trusting in that ignorance to cause people to side with everything they say. And I'm sure that your liberal friends are siding with what they see in the media. And they do so because they just don't understand. They just don't know the truth. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. It is it's a fun day in my neighborhood. Weather is changing here in the heart of the Southlands. And we had summer for way too long. We just had summer for way too long. Temperatures in the mid to upper 90s. It's been in the upper 70s and into the 80s the last few days. And this weekend, we're going to hit the 50s. I'm looking forward to it. I just wish we had some nice leaves to look at because the extended summer just really ruined that. But I'm looking forward to brisk, cool weather. And I know that people are looking forward to great weather for football. Because for some reason, it's just not right sitting in the stands at a football game and sweating like you're at Walt Disney World in the middle of summer. It's just not right. Something is so wrong about that picture, it could actually scar you mentally for life. So thank goodness we have some cooler weather coming along. I'm glad to see that. So if you subscribe to the podcast yet, it's easy. If you are listening on Facebook Live or you're getting it some other way, you can find the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can find it on Spotify. You can go to the website, dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Tried to make it easy to find. Just search the Daily Perspective Podcast. You'll see it come up in the listings. I think it's interesting that I search it specifically by its name, the Daily Perspective Podcast, and I see a couple of dozen other things pop up before this podcast does, and they don't have the specific name. It's really interesting to me, and I think that in part is what we've been seeing happening with conservative media across the board, conservative commentary across the board when it comes to social media and search engines and the like. You just find that we're being marginalized. And I'm not making the claim that this is a huge podcast. It's not. It's a little operation, a small operation with an audience that is really not that large. But there are people in all corners of the country, the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii. There are people in the UK. There are people in Europe. There are people in other countries. I look at the data, the metrics, and I see listens from all over the place. Not necessarily subscribers, but people who drop in and listen. So it's reaching all over the place. But here in the United States, if you search for it, it's kind of like some of the other ones that you search for. Like trying to search for a while Steven Crowder. If you searched Steven Crowder's series, there's this thing where he sits down and he asks people to change his mind. Steven Crowder changed my mind. it slipped my mind for a moment, but if you search Steven Crowder, if you searched Steven Crowder Change My Mind, it didn't go to Steven Crowder's YouTube channel. It went to other places which mentioned Steven Crowder Change My Mind. And that meant that his viewership was being affected. And I think we're seeing that happen across the board with conservative views. And I didn't really put two and two together until just recently, and it hit me. Wait a minute. When I search specifically by the name of the podcast and it shows up, it doesn't show up as the first item. Something isn't right. You stop and think about that. Practically anything else that isn't politically related, if you search by a specific name, it's the first item that comes up. Unless there is some underlying reason. For example, if you go to Google, the search engine, and I will tell you right now, please stop using Google as your search engine. There are other options. There's DuckDuckGo. There's Bing. There are other options out there. Stop using Google. Google is behaving badly. They are being evil. Use something else. But if you go to Google for this experiment, that's fine. Don't type a complete word, just type the letter A into the search bar and hit return. What's the top return? What's the top item? Probably going to be Amazon. Do you really think that Amazon is the most highly searched item beginning with the letter A on Google? Seriously? Do you not think that the vast majority of people who are looking for Amazon know to go Amazon.com? Why would they search Google for Amazon and yet it's the top item? Here's why. Amazon spends a lot of money with Google. I'll just let that lay there. So there is influence and there is subversion going on in search engines. So be careful. You're not getting all the facts when you use Google. Use other search engines. I'll just say that. Okay. Back to the absurdity at hand. In a move that has turned heads in the media and prompted pushback from critics, House Democrats are talking about taking extraordinary steps to hide the identity of the Ukraine call whistleblower from President Trump's congressional allies. The Democrats' consideration of unprecedented measures comes amid new revelations about the whistleblower's reported political bias. Now, we've been hearing the story, and it's just getting deeper and deeper. Citing three officials familiar with the deliberations, the Washington Post reported the other day that House Democrats heading up the investigation into Trump's alleged pressuring of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to investigate former Vice President and 2020 presidential candidate Joe Biden are considering conducting the whistleblower interview in a remote location and obscuring the individual's appearance and voice. Quote, there are lots of different protocols and procedures we're looking into to find out what works and doesn't work to protect the identity of the whistleblower. That's what one of the sources told the Washington Post. The protection of the whistleblower's identity is paramount, according to this source. The highly unusual arrangement for the whistleblower's testimony underscores the toxicity between Republicans and Democrats on the House Intelligence Committee, which was once considered among the most bipartisan, but is now spearheading the divisive impeachment investigation, according to the Post. They go on to say one individual familiar with the discussions said this is the first time the panel has had to take such extraordinary measures to protect a witness, including from their GOP colleagues. Wow. As Trump and other Republicans are calling for the whistleblower's identity to be revealed, more information has come to light, along with the New York Times revealing last week that the whistleblower is a CIA agent who was assigned to the White House. The Washington Examiner's Byron York reported just this Tuesday that intelligence community Inspector General Michael Atkinson wrote in an August 26 letter that the whistleblower had some indicia of an arguable political bias in favor of a rival political candidate. Citing three different sources familiar with Atkinson's testimony to congressional investigators on Friday, York reports that rather than the whistleblower's political bias simply being that he or she is a registered Democrat, as many of the left have suggested, the whistleblower reportedly had a prior working relationship with a current 2020 Democratic presidential candidate. The Democrats' extraordinary steps to hide the whistleblower's identity from Republicans has inspired widespread criticism online, as it should. In response to various outlets' coverage of the story posted on Twitter, critics have slammed the Democrats for conducting themselves like a banana republic and presiding over a kangaroo court. And among those critics is House Republican Whip Steve Scalise. He tweeted Monday, "This entire process has been a scam. Dems now plan to only allow themselves and their staff to know the whistleblower's identity, while concealing it from Republican committee members. This is unprecedented. What are they trying to hide?" Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has chimed in, saying everyone in America, including President Donald Trump, has the right to confront their accuser. If impeachment is designed to uphold the Constitution, you are in the process of destroying it by preventing the president and his team from confronting the witness against them. This is an unsustainable position. Trump also picked up on the kangaroo court theme. He tweeted Tuesday after the State Department told U.S. Ambassador to the European Union, Gordon Sondland, not to appear at a scheduled interview with Democrat-led congressional committees. He said, "I'd love to send Ambassador Sondland, a really good man and a great American, to testify, but unfortunately, he'd be testifying before a totally compromised kangaroo court where Republicans' rights have been taken away and true facts are not allowed out for the public to see." So the Democrats are playing this in such a shady way that you have to question everything. Everything. This is an anonymous whistleblower. One of the things that they've said is that this whistleblower has received death threats. Can I just ask what I think is the most obvious question here? If the whistleblower is anonymous, nobody knows who this person is, how on earth has this person received death threats? This is just Democrats lying again. That's all this is. They're really good at it. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. I was sitting here waiting for music to play, and then nothing played. That was weird. It was in the list. It was right there, ready to go. That is what I would just call strange. You know, just things that make you go, huh? I just don't understand. Let's have some music.
Now then, I'm going to do something sandwich, where I say something good, then talk about where you need improvement, and then end with something good.
Whatever you gotta do.
And don't.
How about that? Okay. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here. You're there. Glad you're along for the ride. Hopefully you're having a big old day in the neighborhood. Yeah, apparently I have some work to do after the show. Well, the important news of the day, far beyond the inevitable tedious impeachment jousting that's going on, is that John Durham's investigation of the provenance of the FBI's counterintelligence investigation of possible Trump-Russia collusion is expanding. This is according to several administration officials. The investigation is getting bigger. Rather than winding down, getting smaller, coming to conclusions, they're finding more, which is pushing them to broaden their searches. That's what's going on. Fox News previously reported that Durham would be reviewing the days leading up to the 2016 election and through the inauguration. However, based on what he's been finding, Durham has expanded his investigation, adding agents and resources. This is according to senior administration officials. The timeline has grown from the beginning of the probe through the election and now has included a post-election timeline through the spring of 2017 up to when Robert Mueller, was named special counsel. That's the same Robert Mueller who testified under oath he was not familiar with Fujin GPS after years of investigating a supposed scandal instigated by that company. This eye-rolling lie is far more significant than anything he has prosecuted others for. This is the same Mueller who also lied in denying again under oath he interviewed for the FBI job before becoming special counsel. Sidebar real quick. Were you aware that Robert Mueller interviewed for the FBI job? He wanted to be the director. Went to the president, interviewed for the job of the FBI, and was turned down. And the next day, this is not an exaggeration, the next day, he was appointed as the head of the special, the investigation. The next day. Do you not think that had he gotten the job, thank goodness everybody saw through him and said, no, I don't think so. We need an honest, functional FBI head. If he had been appointed the head of the FBI, don't you think everything would be vastly different? That he and his FBI would have been cooperating without hesitation with the special counsel and that everything would have changed? Yep. Well, actually, things are worse. As the president's former lawyer, John Dowd, put it, quote, Captain Robert Mueller, USMC, sits in front of his commander-in-chief being interviewed for FBI director, knowing he's going to investigate the president and never says a word. Comey and Mueller separated at birth, two extremely pompous liars. No wonder they're pals. But leave all that aside. What has Durham found, possibly in concert with his superior, Attorney General William Barr, that necessitated expansion of his work? It could be related to the length of time it is taking Inspector General Michael Horowitz to deliver his more limited report that has been repeatedly promised for some months now. Previously, Horowitz was criticized for pulling his punches on the Hillary Clinton investigation. This will not be so easy now with Barr and Dunham going over the same material. Horowitz is not able to interview those no longer working for the government, most of the potential miscreants having slipped away. But Barr and Durham have no such restriction. They can follow leads anywhere. And recently, that has taken them to Italy to speak with intelligence officials. They've also apparently spoken with their peers in Australia and in the UK. Did something come of that? It would be strange if it didn't. Especially now that we've learned that Durham's mission has expanded, adding agents and resources. This indeed should strike fear in the hearts of the Democrats. The Department of Justice holds the whip. They can indict people. The Democratic Congress can impeach. And no wonder they're trying their best to do that now. They're riding high, or some of them may think they are, because the poll of the polls and the nonstop outrage in the media. But most of the public doesn't know the full story or anything close. The truth rarely emerges quickly. In Churchill's words, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to get its pants on. Eventually, however, it does. And when it does, in this case, if the Democrats have already impeached a president, if it turns out there was a coup plot or something close involving the CIA, the previous administration and others, there will be hell to pay in this country like we have not seen since the 1860s and maybe worse. One would advise the Democrats to reconsider, but they don't seem to be able to do it. They probably have too much to lose. Absolutely true. The Democrats, as I've said before, are scrambling. They're becoming more insistent, more shrill, more demanding, more pompous. They are parading out in front of cameras, making statements with weight and sincerity as though they are defending the Constitution and the nation. But in truth, they're defending their acts done in secret. And they're throwing out things they hope nobody will check into. The hatred for our president and what's happening, his correction of the course of this country, is so deep that even Planned Parenthood has vowed to spend a lot of money to elect abortion rights candidates in 2020. $45 million, to be exact. $45 million they're going to spend. Planned Parenthood's wings, which fight for legal protections for abortion, announced yesterday they'll be spending $45 million backing candidates who support abortion rights in elections next year, ranging from the state house level to the White House. The organization tweeted this: Planned Parenthood, Votes, and Planned Parenthood advocacy and political organizations are launching their largest ever electoral effort for the 2020 cycle. We'll fight for our rights and freedoms down the ballot in 2020. They say their top priority is to defeat and unseat President Trump. Other priorities include helping Democrats retake control of the GOP-controlled Senate and holding the Democratic majority in the House of Representatives. They're going to target about 5 million voters across the country, with the spotlight on 9 key swing states: Arizona, Colorado, Florida, Michigan, Minnesota, New Hampshire, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. They add that their campaign will include digital, TV, and radio ads, and direct mail. They say they'll start voter canvassing next year. $45 million. This is the organization which says, if you cut any of our tax funding, women will die. But apparently they have enough in their coffers to spend $45 million to influence an election. $45 million being spent by a company that claims to be in dire need of funding from the U.S. government. Your tax dollars, my tax dollars. $45 million. Do you see why we need to completely and totally stop funding Planned Parenthood with our tax money? Because they just turn it around and use it to support leftist politicians. You can be the staunchest right-winger on the face of the earth, and our government is taking part of the money that they take from you, and they're giving it to an organization who is dedicated to defeating what you believe in. It has to stop. It has to stop. Planned Parenthood, begging for money, and then spending that money to defeat your president and those who stand for life. That's something for us to think about throughout the day. And do more than think about it. We have to do something about it. And that's it for me today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow for the Friday edition. Have a great day. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.